The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
Welcome to Report from Europe. This is Mike Consul, one of the editors here at IREI. And on the line with me is the editor of our Institutional Real Estate Europe magazine. That would be Marek Hansel. And Marek, some things afoot in the UK in regards to housing. And this is interesting stateside because the housing market's been on fire in the United States for years, particularly multifamily, but even single family prices have come back to the levels they were at before the global financial crisis, and in some cases even beyond that. Has the UK market been also very strong, or is it just now emerging as a very strong investor market?
Well, residential, the residential sectors hasn't really been much of a market in the UK at all. We sort of call it a number of things here, multifamily. We also call it PRS. The acronym stands for private rented sector, I believe. So you'll hear people sort of say PRS and multifamily and throw terms around like that. But yeah, it's not a market like in the US when it comes to residential. So it's not very institutionalized at all. That's sort of just to do with the way people view buying and renting in the UK. So historically, we've always wanted to sort of get on the property ladder and own your own property as soon as you can. So that's a major factor. At the moment, the PRS or the residential markets, it's dominated by student accommodation, small sort of buy-to-let landlords, accidental landlords who can't sell their house and have to rent it out. And so they don't sort of pay much attention to quality of the accommodation, and they look to minimise costs and maximise rent, really. So it's not an ideal situation for tenants at the moment in the UK.
You know, I had heard that student housing was quite big in Europe in general, and in the UK maybe in particular, but that it had been strong there. Here in the United States, of course, the one of the things that we learned is that when they ask the Hispanic population, of which the United States has many millions of Hispanics, so what is the American dream to you? The number one answer was owning your own home. Is that
right?
And,
yeah.
And I feel like you touched on that during your answer, but is that's not necessarily the case in other countries. Is it in the UK, do people think in terms of I want to own my own place, or is that not necessarily a driving force in people's lives?
No. I'd say it is a driving force. So, I mean, in the UK, if you sort of leave school or university, get a career, and you immediately start thinking about getting on the property ladder. So, an example to sort of back that up would be something the last finance minister, called the Chancellor of the Exchequer here in the UK, George Osborne, in the former government, he set up this a variation on a savings product in the UK, which was, and its sole purpose essentially was to help 18 to 39 year olds to save up to buy a property, or to save up for a deposit to put on a property before getting a mortgage. It's called everyone in the UK is familiar with it. It's called a LISA, or a lifetime individual savings account. But it's essentially, the government puts, as I think it's 25% to on to everything you save. So there's a limit of about 4,000 a year, and you get a bonus on top of 25%. So they basically put a pound on for every £4 that you save into this product, which kind of shows you how important owning property is in the UK. But then if you contrast that with somewhere like Germany, the Germans are sort of very indifferent about buying or renting. For them, it's more a lifestyle choice, a question of where they want to live, if they want the flexibility of renting. I think that's also true in the Netherlands and in other areas. So the UK is a bit of an outlier in Europe in that sense, I think.
So why in the UK is the residential sector gaining traction among investors now?
Well, at the moment, it's kind of taking root. Let's put it that way. So I think the first reason is that there's a rising demand now for rents in the UK. For a variety of reasons, demographics, people being more flexible in terms of work and where they live. And it also helps satisfy investor demand for stable long-term income assets, really. So it provides a stable cash flow that's not necessarily correlated to the economy, because you always have to have somewhere to live, don't you? So you can kind of rely on PRS or residential income. So obviously it's got the extremely stable sort of income flow that I just mentioned there. It's not as volatile as other asset classes in property. And one of the other things to note, perhaps that's noteworthy, is that a lot of life insurance companies invest in residential, both in the UK and abroad, and they abroad in continental mainland Europe. And the reason they do that is because the flow of income matches their liabilities. So nobody's better or more precise at matching liabilities than insurance companies are. And if they're doing it, then that's kind of now that this is becoming more of an institutionalized product and the investment managers are coming up with funds, it's kind of, other people's ears are perking up and they're thinking, wow, we should get involved, really. Because of what I was mentioning earlier with the stable income flows. And there's a few deals that have sort of emerged in the last, quite recently.
You mean some major deals that were like punctuation marks for the market?
Yeah.
What were they?
Yeah.
Do you have one or two you can throw at us?
Yeah, so hang on, let me think of, let me just pull one up for you. So, for example, M&G, M&G Real Estate, they recently did a deal to finance a build-to-rent project in Reading in the south of the UK. It's for about 315 homes, but doing this deal has taken it means that their investment into the residential sector has now gone up to £900 million, which doesn't sound like a huge amount, but in the UK that's pretty big. And they're sort of this deal sort of shows that they're raising the bar when it comes to the quality of rental accommodation. So this project they're building, it's going to be about 10,000 square feet. Don't ask me to calculate that into meters, but it's going to have like a nice residence kind of lounge that overlooks a river. It's going to have a tech hub, a cinema, dining rooms, roof terraces, and this is all. It's going to be really close to a station that's going to have connections to a new network called Crossrail, which will go into London. It'll only take about 25 minutes to get to central London from there, which will be amazing. And this is a whole new level for rental accommodation in the UK. It's sort of unheard of to have that kind of quality, really. So that was quite a big deal. There's also Aberdeen Standard Investments, huge manager. They've put about their assets under management now in residential are about $700 million, as I understand it, across 12 different funds. So it's sort of picking up big, significant figures now, ones that you can sort of talk about and are quite important. There's also another interesting development, actually, is there's a manager called Hearthstone Investments, and they have a small fund, but they've targeted local authority pension funds in the UK. So local government pension funds. And the interesting thing about that is that local government pension funds are sort of they can afford to get the best consultants, the best managers, the best advice. And if they're moving into this area, then you can be pretty sure that others are going to follow. So that's also something that's quite noteworthy, I'd say.
Well, you know, I'm looking at my notes, and you had indicated that the UK is seen as the next big thing in residential. Is that what you're talking about? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. I suppose it's because it's starting from such a low platform, so it's typically always been missed out in institutional portfolios. And there've been investors from abroad who've wanted to explore the idea of getting into the UK market, but there just hasn't been the infrastructure or the funds in place to do it. And there's a real opportunity. So, like I said, we're starting from a low base in the UK. The quality of private rented property is pretty abysmal, which goes back to my point about accidental landlords and maximizing rent and minimizing costs. But there's also the point about people now wanting to rent more. So there's this undersupply of good housing. So if you get in there early, then there's a potential for very high returns. I think there's some figures from it's an organisation called the English Housing Survey that shows that I think nearly 50%, sort of half of 20 to 25 to 34-year-olds live in the private rented sector now in the UK. And Knight Frank have also said that they've estimated that by I think it's 2021 that nearly one in four households in the UK, I think it's the UK or England, but well. It's a slight nuance, but we'll be living in the private rented sector. So that's a big, that's a big change, a big shift. And I think if you look over the last year or so, the number of multifamily units that are sort of in the planning pipeline, they've sort of tripled from about 21,630 to 70,500, according to CBRE. So all of these figures are kind of showing that there's an upward trajectory. So it's, like I said, we're starting at a low base. So the sooner you get in, the better it is for investors, really.
So how big could the market get? You've said we're starting from a low base, but we've got a nice trajectory going.
Yeah.
So when does that top out? I mean, how big could the market be?
I suppose it's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mentioned Aberdeen Standard Investments earlier. There's a fund manager there, Ed Crockett, who anticipated that there'd be sort of a 24% increase in private renting by 2022. But to put some of the other sort of stats that I threw at you earlier into context, so the commercial market in the UK is estimated to be around £883 billion. The private rented, the PRS residential market is about £1.1 trillion or £1,110 billion, depending on when you translate billions to trillion. But anyway, so that's already bigger than the commercial market. And at the moment, the institutionalized sort of portion of that 1.1 trillion is very, very small, and most of that is student accommodation, which is now a very saturated market. I think a lot of managers are sort of moving out of that now, such as Schroders, for example. So student housing, sort of yesterday's story. But if institutions can carve out a little share of PRS, out of that 1.1 trillion, then it could be a huge, huge market potentially.
Is there population growth in London and the UK? Are you guys on the grow, or is population level and stable, or maybe even declining? Like in Germany, I know it's declining, and Italy's declining. What's the population? Because obviously population growth will drive a housing market.
Yes, no, absolutely. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't have figures off the top of my head, but London, as far as... I'd venture to guess that London's still growing, but But the good thing, there's a good story going on in the UK at the moment whereby some other cities, you know, cities further up north away from London are starting to grow as well. So if you look at perhaps Manchester, the BBC, they a few years ago, they moved some of their operations up to Manchester, and that's helped. There's been a bit of regeneration there, and that's helped grow that city. Leeds as well, across the way from Manchester, that's been growing. So there's cities, there's pockets around the UK where urbanisation is sort of growing, and that's only going to encourage more sort of younger workers, flexible workers to turn up, and they're going to want good quality property to live in. And the UK has also got a good story going on with universities. So a lot of foreign students obviously come here, and some of them may decide to stay and work. So they'll have good student accommodation, but after they've left their student accommodation, they'll want good rented accommodation in the private sector as well. So yeah, all around, there's positive signs all around when it comes to residential in the UK. There's far more positives than negatives at present, I'd say. But obviously, there's everything going on with the Brexit as well, so we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know how that will affect the economy over the next, over the short to medium term, but we'll wait and see.
But of course, the housing market and Brexit are both overshadowed by Harry and Meghan right now. As of this recording, we've got the wedding impending, and
yes.
Here in the United States, we're paying a lot of attention to. In fact, my wife said it's going to be on TV at 4 in the morning, so my wife is recording the whole thing. I guess Americans are more interested in the royal family than a lot of Brits are, but what's the atmosphere like out there? It's an interesting story because Meghan Markle is a Hollywood actress. She's American. She's biracial. Mm. She's not really the same kind of cloth that the royals have been marrying into over the years. Is there excitement there, or is it just another day at the pub?
there is excitement. Obviously, there's big media coverage. I think Prince Harry's always been a bit of a how can I put this diplomatically? Maybe a bit of a loose cannon, so he was,
he's a man's man. He's the kind of guy you want to sit down and have a beer with. He's a man's man. You know, he likes his women to have some sparkle, the Markle sparkle, they call it. So then,
absolutely,
you know, there is some talk that they're going to overshadow Prince William and Kate as a couple because they're just more electric.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, talking about Prince Harry being a bit of a loose cannon, obviously the royal family's happy that he's sort of settling down, and hopefully he might, you know, have a family with Meghan if they can. So yeah, I guess they do have a bit of a more of a dynamic going on. She's obviously well known in TV, I think, or the movies.
Yeah. TV actress. She was on a TV series that was quite popular, and she did very well with it. So.
Right, yeah.
I suppose her acting career is probably over, unless being part of the royal family requires some acting.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. I think it's probably over there. That's right. But, yeah, of course, you have to appear to always be smiling when they go to all these events and they're cutting ribbons and opening places up and stuff, yeah. But, she had some sparkle to it. But, yeah, I think it's interesting what you said at the beginning there, you know, about it. It's 100 years ago, it would have been probably frowned upon, you know, because she's not sort of, as you said, a typical choice for a prince to marry. But I think, you know, it's, the UK is very much, like everywhere else, you know, far more open and welcoming of all sorts now. So none of those old prejudices exist anymore. I think it's more excitement. The other thing is that obviously Meghan's dad is her father won't be attending, so that's grabbed quite a few headlines over here.
Yeah, what a bunch of drama that was. He needs to kind of get out of the way, it sounds like. At any rate, our time is up, and you know, this is all in the service of the housing market, the excitement over the royal wedding and whatnot.
Yeah.
So we certainly hope the housing market will continue to do well in the UK and serve investors well. It is a Friday as of this recording. So, Merrick, have a great weekend, and appreciate you taking the time to get us up to date on the housing market in the UK and the opportunity for investors to pull some yield.
No, yeah, it's my pleasure. Yeah, good to speak, Mike, and have a good weekend yourself.